This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, my name is Daryl Ong, and you tune into Bar None, the show that brings you through the ins and outs of the sporting world. Today on the program, we have former national gymnast Sarina Sundararaja on the show. But before that, here's this week's The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly. Good story of the week is on the 2019 budget announced by the Finance Minister Lim Guan Eng, and focusing on the sporting aspect of the budget, it was announced that 100 million ringgit will be allocated to athletes to prepare for the 2020 Olympics, with hopes of bringing an end to the long-awaited Olympic gold medal. Along with that, it was announced that the additional 10 million ringgit will be allocated to grow the evolving esports industry. Earlier in the week, we had a Deputy Youth and Sports Minister Stephen Sim on the Breakfast Grill, and here are some clips of him previewing the 2019 budget.
In many ways, youth and sport is not seen as one of the key or major ministry, you know, for example, defence or even education. Health. So I think this was the reason why budget for youth and sport ministry is much lower compared to the big ones, the big boys. We can definitely do more with more allocations. That's definitely, that goes without saying. But I think even with the present amount that we receive, if we can deal with corruption, if we can deal with abuse of power, if we can deal with overspending, then we can stretch the ringgit, the dollar, even further. You know, the problem is, if I give 1 ringgit or I invest 1 ringgit on an athlete, my vision is to see that that particular athlete receive the value of 1 ringgit, if not more. You know, it cannot be that when we put in 1 ringgit, somebody else, you know, in the middle get 10 cent here and 10 cent there. And then it, you know, when the money
you
goes
want the
out,
full yeah, ringgit to
I
go
want
to the
full
athlete.
Ringgit, if not more.
Okay.
Right? So I think if we can deal with corruption and overspending, definitely we can stretch the value of our allocations that we have, even though limited, but we can do more. Malaysians in general know that we are living in a very challenging time, especially because of the legacy that we have inherited vis-a-vis the debt situation. We are talking about 1 trillion debt situation. But having said that, government spending on the people is something that is non-negotiable, especially on the welfare of the people, on the welfare of the youth. What I want to see is, but you know, I want to do a bit of rethinking in terms of our ministry, youth and sports. You know, I spoke to the minister, and he is in full agreement, especially in terms of some of the programs that we are going to launch. I can't tell you just yet, but you know, it's going to be an exciting year ahead. But my stand is, my view is this: instead of government paying your hospital bill, what if the government pays you to go and run? What if the government pays you to do more Zumba in your, you know, in your housing area? What if the government pays you to go cycling? What if the government pays you to be more active instead of just paying your hospital bill, you know, when you go to the hospital? So I think this is how we're going to stretch and reimagine money being spent in terms of the people's welfare through sports, through youth activities.
On to the bad story of the week, and on Leicester Football Club, their owner and Thai duty-free king, Vijay Srivaddhanaprabha, he died in a helicopter crash after watching a 1-1 draw with West Ham. Vijay, along with 2 members of his staff, the pilot and another passenger, crashed into the club's car park seconds after taking off in the centre circle at the King Power Stadium. Kun Vichai, who oversaw one of the most remarkable underdog stories in the recent years, not only winning the Premier League title in the 2015-2016 season, but also winning it in style by a clear 10 points with 2 games in hand. He was an owner that was hands-on, who respected the club's heritage, liked to attend as many games as he could, and his presence will not just be missed in the football world, but in the city of Leicester, where he donates regularly to local charities. His son and the club's vice chairman is set to carry on his dad's legacy, vision and dreams. On to the ugly news of the week, where South Korea defender Jiang Hongsu, has been banned from life from playing for the national team. Jiang, who plays for FC Tokyo, has 58 caps to his name and was part of the team that won gold at the 2014 Asian Games. Along with the ban, he has been hit with a 30 million won fine, that's 110,000 ringgit, after he was found to have falsified records relating to his military service exemption. So the rule is that all able-bodied South Korean men must complete almost 2 years military service, but athletes can earn exemptions by winning a medal at the Olympics or the Asian Games. Part of the exemption is to also undergo 4 weeks of basic military training, a lot less than 2 years, and also undertake more than 500 hours of community service over a 3-year period. However, even while qualifying for this exemption in 2014, Huang Su has admitted to submitting false records detailing how many hours of community service he had performed. The defender, who played all 3 games for South Korea at the World Cup in Russia and who will now miss the Asian Games in January, has apologized on Monday and said that he would undertake the required community service. And that brings us to the end of this week's news roundup on the good, the bad, and the ugly. On our feature story this week, we're pleased to have former national gymnast Sarina Sundararaja on the show. She won a gold medal at the 1998 Commonwealth Games. And then 20 years later, the former decorated national gymnast is organizing a speaker series to engage and empower youth. Through her club, which is the Sarina Rhythmic Gymnastics Club, she and her team will be organizing the event titled Empowering Youth to Make a Difference to Society, which will be held on November 4th at the Square Publica. Harish Dio explores more with Sarina.
Well, my club has initiated the empowerment initiative. So we have the 4 pillars, which is the leadership series, the masterclass series, the workshop series, and the speaker series. So every month, I try to organize an event whereby I can include all the members from my club and also from the public. So basically, the goal of the day, of the speaker series, is actually to make girls love gymnastics as a form of play. But beyond rhythmic gymnastics, it's also about providing them with positive tools to set goals in life and to overcome challenges. So the day is also to be celebrated in conjunction with World Children's Day to promote the position of girls in society and to make their lives better in society.
You speak quite a lot about girls' empowerment at youth level and also community. I mean, the way I see it, you're addressing the concerns of the community as well. Why are you highlighting these subjects? Because most athletes would just go down the traditional route of becoming a coach and eventually opening up an academy, but you are taking one step further by addressing community and social concerns.
Because I believe, inspired by our vision of empowering youth, so SRGC is very committed to shaping the future by empowering children and inspiring the next generation of leaders through rhythmic gymnastics. Because being a former rhythmic gymnast before, I've learned a lot by just being an athlete. And now being a coach, I have the platform whereby I'm able to empower and inspire my young girls through rhythmic gymnastics.
Speaking about empowering the younger generation, about especially coming from someone like you, a decorated former athlete, we hardly see former athletes taking up this role, being that inspiring figure to our youths. Why do you think that's so? Perhaps are they like so jaded because they've spent so many years in the sport, or perhaps you can provide some form of insight, because it's something that I just can't understand. Some athletes, they go on to actually contribute back to grassroots, but some just turn their backs on sports.
For me, sports have been a big part of my life. After retirement, I went into coaching right away because I knew that my passion lies in rhythmic gymnastics, and coaching is one of my way of contributing back to the society. I mean, in my opinion, I believe athletes, they have this platform where they are able to inspire young kids. And I think there's a lot more that can be done by these athletes. It's just that maybe they're not being provided with the opportunities to do so.
Speaking about providing opportunities and inspiring others, I've noticed that you've got quite an interesting lineup. You've got national high jumper Naraj Singh, you've got national bowler Shalin Zulkifli, and your event will be officiated by the Deputy Minister of Women, Family and Community Development, Hannah Yeo. First and foremost, was it easy convincing these personalities to be part of your initiative?
It's a lot of hard work organizing an event on this big scale. However, being a former gymnast and a former athlete, these athletes that are appearing on the speaker series this Sunday, they've been really supportive of the initiative, and I'm truly grateful that they said yes. Okay. And some of these athletes are also people that I have trained with, have worked with, and it's really nice to get together again after so long.
Will there be more athletes who will be joining in your future series?
Yes, definitely, because as I mentioned before, we have the four empowerment initiative, and every month or so, I will try to organize an event whereby I'll try to include as many former and current athletes to come and help to inspire young children to take up sports as a form of play, because I believe kids should be should think beyond, you know, the mobile devices. They should be able to go out there and create real-life experiences.
Speaking about kids being fixated on mobile devices, let's talk about gymnastics, I mean, especially rhythmic gymnastics. Now, we see, you know, it's beautiful routines. It's an art on the carpet, but, you know, there's more to it. It's really a tough sport. Strict diets, strict coaching methods, competitive parents.
Yes.
More competitive than the gymnasts themselves. And these athletes, sadly, tend to retire early, earlier, in fact, than their other peers. Peers in other sports, I mean. But so why would someone pick up rhythmic gymnastics?
I believe...
Convince me to pick up rhythmic gymnastics.
Well, I believe rhythmic gymnastics is one of the very few sports that actually has all the qualities that a child should have, because it teaches you about coordination, flexibility, strength and power, grace. And it is a lot of work. A lot of hard work and commitment put into becoming a gymnast. So I think every girl should do rhythmic gymnastics, because it gives them a good foundation for them to take part in other sports in the future.
Would you say rhythmic gymnastics is pretty much like athletics? It gives you the basics of any sports. In fact, the basic, how should I say, moves. You know, like in athletics is the running. And that running evolves into something else when you take up basketball or volleyball.
Yes, correct.
And it's the same with rhythmic gymnastics?
Yes, because in my opinion, if you have done rhythmic gymnastics in the past, then that gives you a foundation to either branch out to dance, to synchronized swimming, diving, ballet.
I've observed this personally. We do see a lot of, I mean, especially girls. In primary school, they, you know, they excel in sports. They pick up sports. They're really active in sports, especially rhythmic gymnastics. And when they go to, or when they graduate into secondary school and beyond, their interest towards sports just dies off. I believe it is not their fault. I strongly believe they do not have a proper ecosystem to encourage them to take up sports seriously. But that's just me. What do you think?
I think you're right. I agree with that because I have a lot of my girls that tend to drop out when they reach secondary school, because first and foremost, there's no ecosystem that supports them or creates a pathway for them to finish high school or university doing rhythmic gymnastics. And with the workload of, you know, tons of homework and extracurricular activities during the weekends, which is made compulsory for these kids who are taking up sports outside to actually go for training and further their passion. So for me, I think the education ministry can do more in supporting these athletes in pursuing their passion, especially when these athletes, they are really talented and skillful. They just need that support. So I believe they can I mean, a lot more can be done.
Perhaps, you know, waiting for the ministry or even the minister to push such an initiative would take, you know, almost forever. And I'm saying this. But perhaps you, being a former athlete, you could start the ball rolling.
I am already doing that. So I've actually created a long-term development program for the grassroots level. I'm planning to propose a development program for every schools. But we're going to start off with Selangor first.
Okay.
And I'm planning to whereby create an ecosystem where we can provide coaches to primary and secondary schools to have rhythmic gymnastics clubs in all of the schools for the girls to train. And then also to create a platform whereby these kids have the opportunity to take part in inter-school competition every month. And then this will lead to the finale of Princess Cup.
And Princess Cup is something that you are initiating?
Yes. Or?
Okay, and when will that be? I mean, it's in the pipeline or is it already, or it's in the pipeline?
Yes, yes, it's in the planning stage right now. So,
When can we see the inaugural edition of the Princess Cup?
Soon, maybe in a year.
That's interesting. Now, I've been wanting to ask you this. If a young boy comes up to you and say he would like to take up rhythmic gymnastics, what would your advice be?
Actually, rhythmic gymnastics is open to both boys and girls. However, in this part of the region, boys are not encouraged to participate in rhythmic gymnastics because of various reasons. Mm-hmm. But in Japan, it's very popular.
Why do you think that that's reluctance, if that's the right word, towards the sport by the boys?
I think it's the mindset of the society.
Too girly sport?
Yeah, or? Whereby most people think that, you know, boys should do like really masculine stuff like football and hockey, and girls, it's, you know, immediately it's either ballet, dance or gymnastics. So I think it's time to break the stereotype, and boys and girls can do anything that they want to do.
Okay. Now, I mean, that's correct, because in America, people think you know, those who play football, or they call it soccer, is a bit girlish. You know, they have to play their American football. You see, so it's high time we break that stigma. And let's go back to your series now. It's going to be an exciting Sunday for you. You've got an impressive lineup.
Thank you.
From ministers to current athletes. It's going to be a whole day affair at Publica.
At the Square in Publica.
At the Square in Publica.
From 9 to 5 p.m.
Okay.
Basically, we have like three speaker series lined up.
Okay.
So in the morning, we have the community session, and the whole event will be officiated by YB Hannah Yeo.
Okay.
And that'll be happening between 10 to 12.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll also have an autograph and photo session with all of this people, very important people. And then from 12:15 to 1:45, we actually have the youth speaker series, whereby we have representatives from the Fuji School, from Serena Rhythmic Gymnastics Club, and kids from Malaysia. So, and then from 2 to 4 o'clock, we have the sports speaker series.
Okay. And just allow me to read out some of the sports speakers who'll be turning up, it includes Elaine Teo, our Taekwondo exponent, Sorina herself, Alex Yong, our former F1 driver, Wendy Ng, diver, Nauraj Singh, as I mentioned earlier, high jumper, rhythmic gymnastics, Koi Siyan, bowler, Shalin Zulkifli, Zainal Abbas, the national athletics chief coach, and of course, our swimming darling, Nurul Huda Abdullah, and Ben Ibrahim, he'll be the moderator for the series.
Yes, that's right.
For the sports series. It's open to public, correct?
Yes, it is.
Okay, and so any pitch to members of the public who are staying nearby who would love to... You know?
Well, meanwhile, while the speaker series is going on, it's going to be a carnival because it is held in conjunction with World Children's Day.
Mm-hmm.
So our main mission was to actually create awareness through the speaker series.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be talking about topics that sometimes is very difficult to... that matters.
What kind of topics are we looking at?
So for the community session, there are three topics that all the speakers will be touching on. Mm-hmm. And the first topic will be girls, not rights. So we'll be talking about child protection from abuse, exploitation and violence. And the second topic would be it's a men's issue, whereby we are encouraging men to speak up to end violence against women. And the third topic is to learn is to be free, to unlock the intelligence, passion and greatness of girls. So we have a great lineup of speakers that advocates of this topics. We have Dr. Hartini, who is the founder of Yayasan Chowkit, and we have Melissa Nyam, who is the chief operating officer of Yayasan Generasi Gemilang. So this speaker series is actually to create awareness and to raise funds for Yayasan Generasi Gemilang, Yayasan Chowkit, and also in collaboration with Fuji School. So this year's theme for the t-shirt, the artwork is actually done by Fuji the Circle of Hands. So all the proceeds from this t-shirt will go to Fuji School.
Okay, that's interesting. I mean, it's giving back to society, as what I mentioned earlier in the show. You don't see many former athletes doing this. But moving forward, your speaker series, especially with regards to sports, are we going to look at this as a monthly thing or maybe, you know, yearly thingy? Or what's the plan for this speaker series?
Well, I'm definitely planning to have it as a yearly event in conjunction of World Children's Day. But every month or so, I will organize an event based on the four empowerment initiatives that I've mentioned previously. But while the speaker series is going on, we also have the carnival for the kids to have fun. So we have fun activities and games. We have the food bazaar. And we have a photo booth. And it's really nice because there'll be this photo booth whereby these kids who would like to be a champion but never gotten the opportunity to pursue sports in a competitive level, so whereby they can go up on the podium and take a picture with their trophy and medals. So it's something that, you know, that tangible, that they can hold the medal, they can feel the medal and the trophy, and, you know, step up on the podium and take picture.
So it's that sense of giving them that sense of the winning atmosphere.
Yes.
Okay, but here's the thing now. Children and competitive sports, I think that needs to be a line drawn whereby we need to encourage kids to participate in sports and not be overly competitive. What are your thoughts about that? Because you notice that sometimes parents and even coaches add that unnecessary pressure towards kids to be world champions when they're just supposed to just have fun. And we're talking about like from 5-6 year olds. I remember in the past whereby hockey, for example, they still play in a full hockey pitch when in fact they should be playing half hockey pitch because full hockey pitch is too big for them. Yeah, look, 5-6 years old, 7 year olds, you know, how much of stamina do they have? But coming back to my question, what do you think about just injecting fun and laughter into sports?
When I train my kids and when I prepare them for competition, I tell them, I mean, you train to win.
Okay.
Because that is the whole goal of going for a competition, because I don't believe a child, no matter how young they are, they go for a competition not expecting to win a medal.
Okay.
So for me, train to win. But winning is not everything. However, I think the will to win is most important.
Okay.
And how you pick yourself up from a failure, that's most important. I mean, I have like some goals when they go for a competition and they don't win. And sometimes it could be external pressure. Sometimes it's, you know, within themselves that they tell themselves like, oh, I'm not good enough, you know. I'm going to stop trying because I did not win the first time. But I keep telling them, it's all about, you know, the mindset. It's all about picking yourself up. And you just have to keep going. You have to just keep trying. And eventually you will.
Do you get that often? I mean, what you just described about that sudden withdrawal of, you know, hoping for the best, but it didn't really work out. And you know what? It's not my thing. I quit. Do you get that often?
Yes, I do. But I would like to, I mean, I would like to highlight that issue as well in some of my events, in the future events, whereby we have workshops about nutrition, because I like to approach sports from a holistic way, not just training. We have to look from sports science, biomechanics, nutrition, about your, you know, psychology and physical be highlighted. I would like to create a platform whereby parents and kids are able to learn more.
I'm glad you said that, because most often than not, when our national athletes fail to perform, the first comment that is always made is, mental lemah. In Malay, they always say, you know, weak in your mental strength. There isn't any mental strength to begin with. I don't find that to be true. I just feel that if you lost, you're just not good enough. Yes. It's as simple as that. You see, but to address that, but some people have said that, no, it's a real thing. So I say, okay, fine. So you are addressing it through your series, hopefully, in the future.
Yes.
Do you think that this should be addressed at every level, not just at the National Sports Institute level among our elite athletes, but also at the lower levels, at the grassroots, at schools, for
the
matter of fact?
Because I believe that private clubs in Malaysia, especially, they are the ones that they are training and grooming these talents at the grassroots levels for the national team. So a lot of emphasis and importance should be placed in these private clubs at the grassroots level. Because if these kids, they don't learn how to handle the pressure of competing and winning and losing, then how are these kids eventually going to progress to a much higher level competitive sports?
Okay, Serena, last question. Do you see yourself as a national coach one day?
That has never been my objective when I took up coaching. For me, my passion lies in grooming young talents from the grassroots level. I find more fulfillment from coaching these little ones. So, yeah. And I feel like, you know, I'm able to do much more through my initiatives, being a coach in a private club rather than being a national coach. But who knows?
That was Harish Deo speaking to former national gymnast Serena Sundra Raja. Her speaker series, the event runs tomorrow, November the 4th, at D Square Publica. And with that, we've come to the end of the show. Do remember that if you'd like to get in touch with us, you can tweet us. We are at BFM Radio. Also, if you'd like to revisit the interview again, please do head over to our website, www.bfm.my/Barnan. And also, the best way to keep in touch with our latest updates is by downloading our app via Google Play and the App Store. My name's Darryl Ong. Thanks for listening. And do join us again next week on Barnan, the show that brings you through the ins and outs of the sporting world, only here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.